remind you, this is the card for Joe and David. Don't forget to say something really encouraging. It's on this radiator thing here, with a pen thereby and a banana. What you do with the banana, I leave it to you. I think we've had a most amazing morning, don't you? And I think the freedom to worship in whatever way has been more than evident, do you think? And I think God smiles. I think God smiles. And one thing I want to say to you that is so lacking in the church is the gift of encouragement. Go forth from here and encourage each other, because it's just totally precious. You know, one of the things about foundations, as you know, is to develop people's gifts, to worship the Lord and build the body thereby, because that's why we have those gifts. But people can be just fearful and shy. And tell them how good they are at this, that, and that, and how it would bless everybody in the body by their exercising the gifts that God's given them. I am sure that one of the gifts we all have is the gift of encouragement. It's only my opinion, but, you know. So it's probably a good idea if we use it for everybody's sakes. And you see, the thing we talk about worship, and you know, there was that song, "This is the time to worship." Actually, every time is the time to worship. If we go from here and we do everything we do as unto the Lord, beauty comes out, just as beauty came out this morning, because whatever we were doing as unto Him. It's beautiful. And it's great to all be here together. Yeah. Okay. I've got all sorts of things bubbling up inside me, and I haven't not quite sure how I'm going to deliver them. But I hope and I pray that God will help me and that He will speak to you through this. And one scripture that came to me was this. I trust this is not going to be controversial. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, power, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. We stand by faith, right? Not by sight. Because it seems to me that a lot of controversy would probably disappeared if we stood by faith and not by sight. And I'm reminded that in the book of Isaiah somewhere, God says this to King Ahaz. He says, if you don't stand by faith, you won't stand at all. And faith is a gift from God. And God's gifts are without repentance. But we do need to be filled with the Spirit, follow the ways of the Spirit, not the ways of the flesh. We do have a part to play, but we are standing by faith and not by sight. And the one who's gifted this, somebody wrote there, he would rather die than not have our company. I taught on this in the last Foundations conference, and it is so often in my heart, lest we forget that is exactly what he did. He created us for fellowship. And when it came to the point, because God is loving, but is also righteous. And when we did something whereby his righteousness would be compromised by our company, he did something incredible. He became one of us. He humbled himself. He laid aside his majesty so that he could die, so that we could be with him forever. Because otherwise, we couldn't. Remember all those saints of old, pre-cross. They couldn't be together with a holy God. They had to go to Abraham's bosom, a place of bliss, but not there. But when Jesus rose on his train, he released the captives. And that gate, that seat of power that was stopping the old saints because their sin was only covered, not removed, that those gates of Hades that were stopping them from going to the presence of God will no longer prevail. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, which is why when you and I die, we go straight into the presence of God. That is why he's created us. Do you remember in the garden, he walked in the cool of the evening? And you know, it's very interesting. I heard the other day that one of the translations, the Aramaic translation, doesn't say that God walked in the cool of the evening. It says that the Word walked in the cool of the evening, which is, of course, exactly what the word that John uses in his preamble of John's Gospel. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have this picture that the pre-incarnate Jesus walked in the cool of the evening, having fellowship with the people he created for that very purpose. And then you know what happened. And then that very person of the Trinity had to come and suffer this most unspeakable thing so that we could be again with him forever and that fellowship be restored in eternity. Isn't it mind-boggling? There are so many religions in this world. one of which I'm reminded encourages to go to and kill each other. But our God came and died for us. Because it's by not anything that we've done, it's a gift from God. But he would not compromise his righteousness, which is why he had to do what he did. So don't compromise. The world surrounds us. The world is pushing the church to compromise. Don't compromise. He is holy. Be holy, for he is holy. Stand on the word. We stand by faith, not by sight, not by opinions. Anything that is not done by faith, somewhere in Romans it says it's sin. We stand by faith. And whatever we believe, if we don't do it, even if it's wrong, so I don't know why I'm saying all this, but isn't it encouraging that we can go from here and be reminded all the time of the magnitude of this? It's awesome, isn't it? It's just amazing. So anyway, I think I've delivered what I think God has asked me to, and I hope it will really encourage you. And you keep it in. It's easy to concentrate on other things, but let's do everything as unto the Lord, remembering what He first did for us. And remembering what our hope is and our future is because of what he did for us. We stand by faith, not by sight. So, speaking of encouragement, what we'd now like to do is to see you all coming forth one at a time to bring your testimonies so that we can all be encouraged. Not your whole life story. Send me an email later, or perhaps not. But just how you were blessed by being here. And I'm sure that whatever difficulties, whatever things you have in your minds, there will have been at least a little time of blessing. Surely. So come and encourage us. Come and encourage us. But first, Simon had a starting point for this, didn't you? This is your cue.
Thank you. I just had some interesting thoughts coming to me this morning, and I thought I would share them in the hope that they might bless you. I think what was coming together in my head is, what is God actually trying to say to us this weekend? This isn't a sermon, it's not a complete set of notes, it's just some senses, some observations. I was thinking of the old and the new wineskins. I came to this conference thinking that I could play piano. And people told me that the way I play is really, really good. And then I had a one-on-one concert with David. And then I discovered that I couldn't play piano. And actually, it's not that I can't play piano, but really my piano playing is in two dimensions, in black and white. And David's is in color and in 3D. And what he said, when he was explaining how he was playing, and I couldn't understand all of it, I'm sorry, it was amazing. But what you're saying is that this style of playing piano, correct me if I'm wrong, it would suit more old-style church before the guitars came in and the modern band style came in. It doesn't really fit with modern worship style and structure. And a thought just hit me when he said that, and it was incredibly beautiful music. And I thought, this is actually like what is going on with Hebraic, is that our modern church structures are kind of shutting out the beauty of the old, which was there originally. And I love the mushroom picture and the oil painting cleared away, that resonates very strongly. I believe we have a calling and an anointing to bring that back into the church. So thank you, Paul, for that wonderful exposition on can you lose your salvation and helping us to think about that Hebraically. That's amazing. And the church often thinks that it's doing new wine, and new wine is the good thing. And I'm trying to write a book at the moment, and I'm in a chapter on Jesus' teaching methodology. And there's an article in the Premier magazine that's all about how Jesus taught, so I thought I would read it. And it quotes from Matthew 13:52, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like the homeowner bringing out of his store both new and old treasures." Matthew 13:52. And I thought, that's right, but it's not right. That's wrong, and it's right. Which goes back to your point about being economical with the truth. And I looked it up, and actually what it says is this. Every teacher of the law, in other words, somebody with a Jewish background, who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a house who brings out of his store new treasures as well as old. And this is what God is restoring to us through people like Steve, like Jacob Prash, David Stern, Alfred Edersheim, and so on and so forth. This is what God is restoring. Because actually what the church did is the new wine was what God poured out on the Jewish apostles. And then the church tried to stuff it into old wineskins. And God now wants to pour back that new wine, which the church thinks is old. I've got two other thoughts that are kind of pretty brief. It doesn't surprise me that Paul, that you're associated with prophecy today, because I think what you brought, although it was teaching, and it was superb teaching, I speak as a former teacher, you can teach me how to teach, please, is I think it was very, very prophetic. The church needs to talk about controversy, desperately. The church needs to debate. I've been told twice to shut up by church leaders. Don't talk about Israel. Do not talk about church Israel and prophecy. And don't talk about deception because you're worrying people. You've probably, some of you may have had the same experience, so I would encourage you. Chris and Andrew, if they were here, they would talk about, you know, the dangers and, you know, what lies ahead of us. But I think Jesus warned in Matthew 24 about deception and about the love of us going cold and actually believe us hating each other. It's horrible. How can we defend against that? I think by being honest and talking. And I once went to a talk where this by a Jewish guy, a Messianic Jew, Barry Segal, and all the English people in the audience just sat and listened for half an hour. But two Jewish ladies, not believers, had been invited, and they just interrupted and said, "Oh yeah, what about that? Oh yeah, I agree with that." All the English people think, "Ooh, you can't interrupt the preacher." But they can, and we need that dialogue and that engagement. So thank you for bringing that and modelling it. It's so important. So last point, very, very quickly. Talking with Mike and Kate, I used to do some street evangelism. God's called me away from that for a time, and I realise actually how inadequate I am in that arena. But I think you've hit the nail on the head with ask a question. And what you were hinting at with some liberal Democrat politician. And, you know, because people want to trap us out with our words, and I think you're alluding to the fact Peter Sam has just written a book on Jesus answering... Yeah, so if that comes out into the public domain at some point, Jesus' Art of Asking Questions or Questions, go for it. It's really, really good. So to wrap up, Jesus said... that we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, be as gentle as doves and as wise as servants. So when the Pharisees said to Jesus, you know, should you pay taxes to Caesar? He answered a question with a question. He said, well, whose face is on the coin? So I believe we will need more and more of this wisdom from the Holy Spirit as we go forward. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, and thank you very much for that. I've stood up here because I have to. Thank you so much for that. That verse about the teacher bringing out of the storehouse new treasures and old was one that God gave me when I first began to really teach. And that, he said to me, that is your role. You must bring people the old and the new and combine it. Okay, so it's about reminding people of the old things that tend to have been forgotten, but also giving them something fresh, bringing a freshness about them. And as I was sitting there this morning, God reminded me that also, I think this isn't just for me, this is for all of us, our task is to reopen the ancient wells. You understand that? Okay. And so I looked it up to make sure I understood what I was talking about. And this is Isaac. And you can check it out in Genesis 26. But all the wells that his father's servants had dug, Abraham's, in the time of Abraham, the Philistines had stopped them, filling them with earth. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up. And he gave them the same names that his father Abraham had given them. Get back to that. And as they dug in the valley, they discovered a well of fresh water there. But then the herdsmen began quarrelling, and it goes on, and they eventually named it Dispute. Controversy, if you like. And the next well was named Opposition. There was opposition to this. There was dispute. But they kept on going, and they kept on digging new wells. And eventually, the Lord God appeared to them and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So the word that God gave to me some time back, reopen the ancient wells, I believe is for more of us, all of us. It's what Foundations is going to be doing. Don't be afraid of the dispute. Don't be afraid of the opposition. Move on, open another well, and the God of Abraham will meet with you and bless you and increase you.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, two blessed men. Next blessed one, you. Come.
Controversial. You don't often have three blokes, do you? there was one thing omitted this morning from the vote of thanks, and that was to all the people who'd made the cakes. Who did those? All the cakes and the biscuits. Oh, hi, Lee. Oh, well, thank them anyway. my testimony relates back to just before we went to coffee, actually. I'm one of those people who, you know, often read the scriptures, and you read the scriptures probably, and then I realise I've been reading it all wrong. And I realised that this morning. It was something that came out of the music group over there. We've got somebody in our church who is very keen on always emphasising the fact that we're in a new covenant and we're adopted, but sort of assumes the new covenant was made with us, not Israel. And I think the word adoption came up this morning, didn't it? And it dawned on me that I've been reading, again, something in Ephesians totally wrong. It says in chapter 1, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Messiah Yeshua in keeping with the good pleasure of his will. And it links to something that I've been reading wrongly before. Only in the last two or three years it's dawned on me that I was a stranger and a foreigner, and I have been brought into his chosen people. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and he said, you're adopted. What into? Adopted into his people Israel. Now that hadn't dawned on me. I don't know, probably you all know that. But it struck me in a new way this morning. Adopted as a child into his people Israel. And the last thing, we were praying for the peace of Jerusalem this morning, and it was something that Keela said, reminding us again, we all know this, that shalom means peace, wholeness, completion. What was the other thing? Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And peace is not there because within the concept of peace is no lack, and Jerusalem is lacking. It's lacking the King. It's lacking the King. He's not there. So when we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm going to pray in future that the King will come and complete the peace of Jerusalem so that it is a place of praise throughout the world. And God spoke to me very clearly this morning and reminded me again that just as you can't play the piano, I must read the scriptures. And I think we all do. And we all need that fresh anointing of the Spirit to help us bring out what God really wants to show us.
Next. Not all together, one at a time, please. Right, while you're thinking about it, perhaps I have something to bless you. Where? Come. Thank you. Now listen, be eager to encourage each other, okay?
This is just a little word of testimony, just a personal testimony. When I have had, my right foot has been quite bad for several months, since about May, and I've had difficulty walking, so that I've driven the dogs to the park and let them off in the park and then driven back again. And I really wanted to do dancing here, and I just thought, well, I'm really going to ask for trouble if I'm going to put more strain on this foot. And this lovely girl, Emma, I just mentioned it to her when we were waiting. I went to the dancing. I thought, well, I'm going to do it. And she prayed for my foot twice. And it's still a bit of ache in it. But when we were practicing our dancing, I thought, my goodness, because I don't know if you were aware, we did stamping. And we had to stamp with our right foot. We had to go like that. And I just thought, well, this is really ridiculous, with this bad foot. But I can tell you, it's very much better than when I came. And I just really praise the Lord that I was able to join in the dancing, and that I believe he's healing it. It's, 60% better than it was. Praise God. I just want to say that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There will be a time later when we will be praying for anyone or everybody in general who's not feeling well for one reason or another. So God tells us to pray for healing, and that, yeah, okay, thank you, and we will do that later on. But thank you, Carol. That's brilliant. Right? Who's come? Is just gone out. Oh, okay. Well, let's do that. Does anyone feel particularly inclined? Okay.
Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus, we know that when you walked this earth, you just spoke a word and people were healed. And you've promised us that now that you've returned to the Father We can do even more things than you did in your name. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, Colin. I know you're not in the room. And I say, be healed. I say your stomach settle down. Be reinvigorated. Be restored in the name of Jesus. And we just bless you. Bless you in all that you do, all that you are. Bless you as you return to Ireland. May the journey be smooth and easy for you. And we bless you that you will not need dialysis in the future, that we know that Jesus can heal completely. And so in the name of Jesus, I say, be healed. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for Colin and the amazing things you do through him. In spite of his illness, it's just totally extraordinary, and how you bring him along one place and another. He could not have done that even if he was in a normal state, but with his illness, only the power of your Spirit in him can do that. And the testimonies and the stories we hear, and the help he was to Steve when they had a taster day in Belfast, is just amazing. Father, we're so thankful for him. Please, please bless him. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, who was the next one? Next time up, what is?
I don't know if I really need this mic, but anyway, I've been blessed by the prayer meetings. Our church has a monthly prayer meeting. Sad, isn't it? Monthly prayer meeting. So to have two prayer meetings, one after the other, is fantastic. And we've had a small group. The people who've turned up know who they are. And I feel we've had an enjoyable time. A blessing for me. I tend to pray for an awful long time because I feel, as a Christian, that is the most important thing we can ever do, is have a fantastic fellowship with the Lord. Because basically, Psalm 46, when I first come across that verse which says, be still and know that I am God, was when I was walking up a mountain. And to be honest, when I sat down and read it, I nearly fell off the rock that I was sitting on. Because basically it hit home to me, because he said, when you read the next bit, it says, I will be exalted amongst the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And then I thought about things like, well, the earth is at the moment, animals and sheep and all those sort of, are broken at the moment. Nations are broken. But the Lord will bring back this when he comes back. So for me, prayer, in Thessalonians it says, pray without ceasing. Because one guy said to me, Peter, you know, you do an awful lot of talking. You should be a preacher. And I said, well, look, when I'm preparing any sort of talk, and Dave will know this, because we sing in the same choir. Basically, when I do have a talk, which is only for 3 or 4 minutes, but sometimes 10, I spend 3 hours at least minimum praying about it all. Because unless you do something like that, the example is Jesus. Whenever he was doing something, he prayed first of all. He went away and prayed. And even before he went to the cross, he prayed and came back to his disciples and said, you're still asleep. What's wrong? You know, why can't you stay up? I mean, I've been to Israel. I know what it's like when they say it's a day's journey from one place to the other. And it is, because in those days I was fit. I was known as the alpha male. But that's another story. However, because I used to do every sport under the sun apart from rugby. I know it's popular amongst women now, but anyway, that's another story as well. But to be honest, Israel, you know, it's a fantastic place. It's the first time that I come across Havanagila. You know, we've had a couple of chats about that, haven't we? But if I can leave with you that prayer is important. Preaching is how we live. Not necessarily what we say, but how we live. People will notice. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Say it as it is. Being a Scouser, and lots of people have found that out, but I'll tell everybody here now that I am. I was born in Liverpool, within a mile of the Bell Bells, you know, so I am truly a born-again Liverpudlian. I don't necessarily speak Scouse, but I can do it if need be. But I live in Wirral now. But at the same time, I miss prayer. So the fellowship I've had in prayer, and one or two I can see who have joined with us, we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because we got a real blessing from it. Yeah? And that's what I want to leave with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next. Very good. Come on. Can be a tiny thing. Don't need a lot of scriptures or anything. Come. You can be next, Anita.
Thanks. It's just something that I just felt the Lord laying in my heart. You know, people have talked about adoption and we've been adopted. And the roots were Hebraic roots and Hebrew roots. You know, in a way, the picture, I'm not an ornithologist or a naturalist, but the picture comes to mind of a cuckoo in the nest. You know, the cuckoo lays its egg in the nest. The cuckoo grows up and eventually it gets bigger and bigger and pushes the baby birds of the native bird out of the nest. And I won't go into details, but I actually had an adopted sister, and through various circumstances, because she didn't get married, she ended up being in the family home. And whereas before, I could always go back to my mother's home in Dublin and stay there, when she was there, I couldn't. And some of my natural sisters actually jumped on the bandwagon and were supporting her. And one night I was on the phone to her, and I just said to her, "What's my name?" Because it was like I was losing my identity as to I was the native born son who was being pushed out by the adopted sister. And a lot of the acronym came, you know, through me becoming a Christian, because when in Ireland, if you in the Catholic Church you become a Christian, it's like you've joined a cult, but that's another story. But I just feel that you know, the Greek church, the Roman church, all of that has basically become like a spiritual cuckoo, which has actually kicked the native-born bird out of the nest. And I think it'd be, you know, I just felt I'm not an intercessor. My wife has that gifting. But I just feel it'd be good to repent on behalf of the church for doing that, that they've actually kicked the native bird out of the nest and being fed and fed and fed, not, you know, forgetting the fact that they shouldn't have actually... say they should be in there, it was in the purposes of God, but they're not the native born stock, if you like. So just like to pray, if that's okay. Father God, you've given us the pattern in the Old Testament of people praying and confessing the sins of the nation. And Lord, Lord, I was brought up in a denomination where we were told that the Jews had killed Holy God. And Lord, I just want to confess on behalf of the broader church, Lord, the sin of being a spiritual cuckoo. Lord, of kicking the native bird out of the nest. Lord, we know that only you can restore the ears the locusts have eaten, and we just thank you that we're living in a time of restoration, Lord, of the breaking down of the barrier, that we are one new man in Yeshua. And Lord, I pray that there will be an embrace between the sons of Zion, as it were, Lord, and the sons of Greece. There will be that breaking down of the barrier, and that your glory will be restored in all its fullness, Lord, in the church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, give me a second. I just had a confirmation that I need to say what I was going to say to you before. Why? What is said now? It's extraordinary, isn't it? I don't know if you know. Maybe some of you know this, but yes. Yes. Yes.
Our team is spread all over the place. And I just want to take this opportunity to introduce you to Hannah. I'm not going to embarrass you, to Hannah and Marcus, because I know you pray for Israel. They live in Israel. And what was wonderful, I've known Hannah, who's a beautiful girl, who has a real ministry of healing. And Marcus were fine people, practical and standing their ground. And they were actually married here 10 years ago. And I had the privilege of leading the Simca dance, which is amazing. So we just want to have an opportunity, if it's okay, just to briefly pray for you. We know how, you know, people say, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to go and live in Israel? And I say, well, no fear, unless God's really calling me, I'm not going anywhere. It's tough. It's hard. It's unrelenting. You know, there's all the old joke of, you know, how do you make a large fortune into a small fortune? Well, just move to Israel. That's exactly what happens. It's tough, and it continues to be tough. It's difficult, and there's no let-up with it. There's groups of demons that attack the believers constantly, and we need to be with. So here we are, have people who live in Israel, and I'd just like to pray for them, if that's okay. If you want to come out, you can, but you don't have to. Come on. Like maybe that's great. Yeah. Thank you. So we thank you for this very precious, precious couple, Lord. You know, to make aliyah is to go up. They've decided to go up into the high things of God, to decide to follow you and be obedient. And Lord, through these 10 years, I know they've come through many trials. But Lord, you say that the hard times make us strong. And Hannah and Marcus, we want to pray now as you're standing in that place and as the Lord is moving in you to perhaps send you to other nations with the word of God. We pray protection over you. We pray strength. We pray healing in your bodies. And more than anything, Father, that you will keep them there going out and they're coming in. And that, Father, I know that even going back to Israel is a hard thing when we're in a peaceful environment like this, where there's no aggression, there's no bombs going off. And believe me, Lord, we know there's stuff still pouring into Israel. But Lord, thank you that you are the God that overcomes. So we pray that you will continue to strengthen them, Father, and be with them. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Bless them, Father. Amen. Amen.
Mantle that you had this morning during the dance with the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that you will place that mantle over these, your precious children, Lord God. Your spirit will fill them. Lord, that you will anoint them for every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, that they will be covered by the wings of your Holy Spirit, that they will stand in a place of safety. And Lord, as you guide them step by step, day by day, Father, they will know this is the way for today, walk in it. Lord, that you will anoint them for the day. And one can't look further ahead than that day. That you will provide, because your word says that you provide for us according to the riches of Christ Jesus. So, Father, we pray for your provision, your health, your strength, your anointing. Bless them, Lord. May know that safety that there is in you, Father. Wherever they walk, wherever they put their feet, that they are covered by you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.
I just hear like the Lord saying that he's got your back, which is why I came and laid hands on you. So Father, I ask that you bless them always with people to come and encourage them when they need it, when they're not sure what you're saying or have lost sight of you. Would you raise up people to encourage them and to stand with them and to just speak that word in season, or to practically help them or just come and love them. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to speak destiny into you, that the Lord has your destiny in his hands. He's not left you. He's re-envisioning you. You are being re-envisioned, and it's going to be exciting, scary, but he is with you, and he's going ahead of you, and he's behind you. He's above and below you, and you can't fail.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Thank you. We continue to move without form. Let the Spirit set us free. Fantastic. Who's next? Anita, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to say, who my brother here spoke about thinking he could play the piano, and the Lord told him otherwise. Not that he can't play the piano, but that the Lord's giving him a new, probably giving him a new vision about how to change his style and to work with him. And that's the same with me, because when I first, I've loved singing for years, and I've sung in different situations, but when I came to the first conference at Belsey Bridge, the first one I'd been to, the Lord did something amazing, and he released something in me that wasn't there before. And it was like a new revelation. And what it actually means is that, we have all the traditional hymns, and that's wonderful, but the Lord has given me an ability to sing in a very gospel style that I couldn't do before. And so that's wonderfully encouraging. And so if there anybody here that's a secret singer that wants to sing but doesn't have the confidence, believe me, step out. Do what the Lord wants you to do, even if it's scary and you think, oh, I can't do it. You can, and the Lord will bless it, and he will use it for his glory, because I have to make sure that it's not about me. And it's very easy for it to be about me, because you can get a big ego about if you have a nice gift. But the Lord will say, and he will bring, he brings you down, he makes you realize and remember, but he also builds you up at the same time. And can I just say one thing very, very quickly about Israel? I have countless friends, when I say, oh, I'm going to Israel, or I've been to Israel, oh, how wonderful, oh, how lovely, oh, that must be so exciting. And I say to them, do you know that being in Israel is incredibly tough? I found it so. And I sometimes feel I'm disloyal, because I think, well, I should be loving this, but it is so hard. The spirit there is so hard sometimes. And I went to Israel in 2015 for a month as a volunteer in Beersheba, in the Negev, with a family, and I worked for them for a month. I could not wait to get on that plane home, because it was so tough, and the heat as well. It was really difficult. So these people are really doing a really brilliant job. I pray the Lord will bless you both and give you the desires of your hearts. Amen.
Thanks very much for that, Anita. And by the way, having done voluntary work myself in Israel, well, especially for the Israeli Defence Force and sort of backroom role, I could certainly support you in what you say, especially with the heat in Israel, even in May time. You'd think it was in August. Well, in fact, you're in May. Well, my experience is not a testimony as such, but a little bit disjointed. We were singing Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem this morning. Well, in my previous but one church, would you believe, a home group leader of mine who was actually leading the prayers actually said the words, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Later on, he got told off by the then vicar for just praying that prayer. Would you believe? Secondly, what has this been the experience in your churches as well? Secondly, it's been brought to my attention that church not far from me, there is hardly any teaching or reading from the Old Testament as such. So in a sense, if you're throwing out what has been described as the Old Testament, sorry Paul, nothing personal, you're essentially throwing out the baby with the bathwater, aren't you? Because, to quote an old familiar rhyme, the new is in the old concealed, but the old is in the new revealed. And this finally, if I could quote what was said from the previous conference in April, a member of the Romanian secret police is on to a member of the old East German Stasi. Remember them? Make the church comfortable, said the East German Stasi rep to the Romanian secret police rep, because the Romanians were having trouble trying to keep down what was becoming a flourishing church, even then in communist Romania. Make the church comfortable, said the East German bloke, and it will just eventually fold up. Well, in a sense, I think that if we in the church become too comfortable, like, and this has been my experience, I don't know about yours, using such phrases as, whenever we're criticising the world and the way the world's going, I get the response, oh, well, who are we to judge? Well, with all due respect to my fellow Christians whom I have found this with, to speak the truth in love is one thing, but to pass judgment, and by the way, there's judgment and there is judgment, is quite another. And in a sense, we are almost making the church comfortable, or indeed preaching a comfortable Christianity. I don't know if this has been your experience as well. And perhaps, is it surprising that, from what I gather, although we can't believe everything we read in the papers, so many teenagers, for example, are leaving the church? A possibility that even in these last days, we could be in danger of it becoming a comfortable Christianity that we preach, and especially without the Old Testament and the Hebraic roots of our faith. And I would certainly look forward to doing if my church can host it, a salt shakers event, God willing. Thank you indeed.
There's much we don't understand, but I do understand this. I will build my church. And tricky times at the moment, but we stand by faith, not by sight. Anybody else? Yes, Colin. Oh, welcome back. That was a quick answer to prayer.
Well, I had nothing to say, actually, but suddenly things come to your mind, as other people share. The last gentleman spoke. I was just thinking of something happened to me in hospital, where this opposition to Israel, and we've been so free here to share with one another and to share what we all believe and support, but out in the churches, it's a different matter, and we all go home from here and realize we're facing a different situation, so we can celebrate this time together and be able to do that. But a lovely minister in Bangor allowed me to have ministry meetings in his church, in Methodist church, and that's okay. It's a wonderful success, really, what's happening there, including Steve coming over and doing conference there. However, me putting advertisements in the hospital chapel has caused a few ripples. And the Methodist chaplain phoned the minister in Bangor to complain that these advertisements and flyers were in the chapel. Well, to me, the chapel belongs to the patients. He's only employed there to serve us. But anyway, he told me that I couldn't put these up because the minister asked him why. Is it because they mentioned the word Israel? And they said, well, it's also because it mentions the word Methodist on the same page. So apparently a lot of phone calls were given to the hospital and complained. So I went and covered up the word Methodist with white stickers and said, for details of venue, please contact Colin Nevin. So the chaplain seen this and took them all down. So I put them up in the cafeteria instead. It's just sad that we have to go to the secular world to put something out with less objections than to put them in a Christian church, which is sad. But I did remind them in their summer magazine, I put an article in their local church magazine for the Methodists. Two verses from a Wesley hymn, which some of you may have seen on a video by Kelvin Crombie. Here's Mr. John Wesley, who wrote this hymn in the mid-1700s, and it was now deleted from the Wesleyan hymn book, We know it must be done, for God hath spoke the word. All Israel shall the Saviour own, to their first estate restored. Rebuilt by his command, Jerusalem shall rise, her temple on Moriah stand again and touch the skies. Send then thy servants forth to call the Hebrews home from east and west and south and north, that all the wanderers come. Where'er in lands unknown the fugitives remain, bid every creature help them on thy holy mount to gain. So that's a Wesley hymn that's all forgotten, but the Wesleys believed in the Jews going back to Zion long before the state of Israel was created. So that just reminded me of that. But we're all here together. We can celebrate what we believe. But it is a tough doing it in our own churches and in the world. But praise the Lord.
Has anyone else got a testimony? Is anyone burning for... Tim, did you want
to? It's not so much a testimony, it's just a... Well, thank you. I'll come on to the testimony in a minute. But I want to thank Steve, wherever he is, for inviting me. I haven't got a clue what this is all about. I thought I'd get involved with some dancing, which I really wasn't looking forward to. But actually, thank you for teaching me so well. And I thank you for the teaching, Paul. And one of the things I shared with a few people was the salvation issue, which was really, really good, because I've really understand it a lot more in terms of the Hebraic understanding of faith. So thank you for that. I want to pick up what Peter said about the prayer. That was fantastic. You know, it's really good to pray on a regular basis. And we don't do enough of it in church, do we? Just a bit about where I'm coming from. Steve knows that I started a website called theway.co.uk in 99. And God asked me to do that. And it came out of Isaiah, where it says there should be a way of holiness. Isaiah 53. I've done that faithfully since 99. In 99, when you said you were a Christian, you had a few ticks in the box. Now, you're not getting any ticks at all. There's a real problem, because we've got gender, we've got Islam, we've got all sorts of stuff going on that really challenges our faith. And so all I want to say to you guys is, we're in the last days. You know, we need to be equipped to stand on the word of God, to stand in faith, and to be ready to take whatever comes. And I think that the church is asleep at the moment, and we need to be in a situation where we wake up our own church to say, look, what's coming. You know, our brothers and sisters are being persecuted throughout the world, and I can see our persecution knocking on the door right now. It's subtle, but it's going to happen, and we need to have faith to stand on the word of God. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, Judith, one more, and then we're going to... Judith, do you want to come forward? And then we're going to have asked the Lord to bring healing. And if anybody wants to have prayer, we'll just do that.
I'm not somebody who normally comes to the front, but I'd like to encourage you, because that's what Barnabas means, son of encouragement. So please come along. I've got loads of resources. I don't want to take them home, please. So come visit me. And see you still as well.
Thank you. I would just one thing I would like to say, that the dance, those dances just really bring, I think a lot of us, it brought us to tears. But the thing that touched me is seeing that lion come on. The strength of the Lion of Judah. And that is our God. And it really, I just thought to myself, you know, with all the wonderful way you all portraying the difficulties that are going on in Israel, but the Lion of Judah, he is victorious, and he will be victorious, and he is our God. And it just... I shall never forget that picture. I never will. It's amazing. So bless you. Anyway, would you both like to come out and just maybe gently do a little bit of music? that's quite nice. Have a little bit of music, isn't it, while we're having prayer. And the Holy Spirit is with us, as in us and with us. But I just wanted to ask the Lord to just come and touch each and every one of us, wherever we feel that, you know, healing just isn't necessarily physical. There's all sorts of healing. Healing of our heart, healing of our emotions, healing of memories, so many things. And I believe that the Lord wants to release his Holy Spirit and just touch each and every one of us. Be real with him. Fears. There are all of us that have fears, or most of us, I think, do have fears, don't we? There are still fears. And to ask the Holy Spirit to release us from those fears. So I would just like to pray as David and Kayla are just playing. I would like to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and touch you. And if anyone would like to have prayer, the group of us that I've spoken to a few people this morning, if they'd like to come out and just go to one of us, one of the team, and it'd be our privilege to pray with you. Because God does heal, trust me. He's healed me. He healed me many, many years ago of asthma. Literally like that. He's healed Jose. And so I know, I stand here knowing the healing power of Jesus Christ. And so in that faith, and he's healed me of many other things as well. Not such visible things, but things that he's healed me in a deep way. And I know, I stand by faith knowing that he can believe. And he will heal you. So I just, Father, and maybe you'd like to just, did you want to say something? Do come out. And others that I've spoken to, if you would like to come out and be here so people can come and have prayer, would be wonderful. Jose, did you want to come out too for prayer? So just feel free to come up to any one of us, and we're delighted to pray. Father God, I just come humbly before you right now. And Lord, your word says, ask and you shall receive. Your word says that lay hands on the sick that they might be healed. And Lord, it's not even necessarily our faith, but it's your mercy. And Father, I just ask that right now in this room, you will release your wonderful spirit of healing to touch each and every one that can reach out to you, knowing that Jesus, you died, you took our sins upon yourself. And I believe you took our healing upon yourself. So, Father, I just ask in the name of your Son that you would come in power, in your grace, in your love, and touch us deep on the inside, Father, in the secret places and the places that maybe we don't even know are there, that you can go deep, deep, deep on the inside of the people that you created us to be. Lord, reach your hand of love and mercy down. That healing hand into the secret places. Your children, Father, we love you. We need you. We need your touch. A touch from the King, that's all we need. Your spirit.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and in his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe it with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Just feel to, just to pray off that spirit of disappointment. You know, we're all believers, we're strong in this room, but many times we have difficulties in our bodies and we get disappointed because we've always asked for prayers. So I think we should stand together because we have to be active as a body. This is not a few people waiting for a few people to come and get healed. This is the God of the universe, the God who's overcome all things. That's okay. If we can stand together. And Lord, we want to make a declaration that we break off that spirit of disappointment offers. It doesn't belong to us. It comes from an enemy place. And we break that off in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua. And we know, Father, that when we cry out to you, you hear us. And Father, when we pray by faith for the healing, you say, Lord, that you begin to work immediately in that body, in the molecules and in the atoms of every body that we can claim, even for ourselves. So, Lord, begin to visit us by your Spirit, even now as we stir ourselves, Lord, to say, God, you are our healer. We're trusting you. Lord, there's just one thing you want to say. I am God. Trust me. We trust you. The Father, you are our strong deliverer. And that you are my healer, our healer. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And when I closed my eyes to pray, I could see what looked like a set of bones and then like a tube going through it. I don't know what it was anatomically, possibly like a spine. And I could see light going through these tubes. And I was wondering whether it was a word of knowledge about someone who needs healing, restoring connections or something. I don't know.
Do respond in faith if it's you.
Do not fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind, self-control. Lift your eyes. He is on the throne. He called you to be his son forever. He loves you. He will look after you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And He will direct your path. Fear not, you children of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and that you will continue to do as we go home. The Lord is good. Hey, do we all agree to that? He's
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
And I think David and Kayla are just going to lead us in a song to wrap up as we go to lunch, that we will go out with joy and be led forth in peace.
Hallelujah.
All right. Bless you. Over to you guys.
You shall go out with joy.
Yes.